Good evening. My Bible's open to Matthew chapter 4. If you want to turn over there and follow along with me, we'll read the first 11 verses here momentarily. Matthew chapter 4. I want to say it's good to see everyone that's able to be with us here tonight. I can't believe the meeting's already over halfway done. Seems like Scott called me just yesterday and said, "Hey, we're thinking about a meeting." I think it was around May or June time frame. Thinking about having a meeting in September, and we'd like for you to come for a whole week, and then all of a sudden, bam, it was here. So I can't believe it's already rapidly starting to come to a close. A few more lessons, and then the meeting will be yours. I hope I've been able to say something to uplift you and edify you. And I know every time we come together, it's a majority of us that are Christians, a majority of us that are already followers of Christ. But at the same time, I'm trying to touch basis on real world, real life issues. Things that we all struggle with, and I know I certainly do mightily struggle with some of these things, and that's why I always say I first and foremost preach to myself, and secondly to you. And so I hope I'm able to say some things this week, or have said some things this week, that would really cause us to think about our Christian lives, and cause us to want to keep living it, and cause us to be re-energized and revamped to continue to live this life. And if you're in the audience tonight and not yet a Christian, we can say some things tonight, or maybe have said some things this week that would cause you to spark some interest in your life and want to come obedience to the gospel of Christ before it's everlasting too late. I want to say I appreciate Greg and his sister Megan Zarian being able to be with us here tonight. They're from the Spring Valley congregation. If you've never met them, Greg's always supported the meetings that I've been in and a sister from time to time. And I appreciate them and their support, not only for myself, but for the congregation here tonight as well. I was wondering what happened to my big buddy back there, Millard, and Millard Collins and Anna. Millard's had some seizure issues, and they ended up in Blanchester last night. And unfortunately, I wasn't preaching at Blanchester last night, but I appreciate Millard so much. If you've never heard Miller speak, visit our website, fairbornchurchofchrist.com, and click on resources, audio sermons, then guest speakers, and you'll find his smiling face on there. Click on his picture, and there's a couple sermons that he's done at Fairborn for us recently as a guest speaker. Man, they are fantastic sermons. Miller does such a great job, and I appreciate him as my brother in Christ and somebody that's certainly taught me a lot as well. I'm going to talk about this guy for a second. And as a dad, and as any father would like to do from time to time, like to brag on his little boy from a little bit. But Brady, and I think everybody knows this for the most part, about 3.5 years ago, we walked into his room one night just to check on him before my wife and I went to bed, and Brady was completely unconscious. And we were smacking him in the face and everything, and his eyes were wide open staring at us, but completely unconscious. And as any parent would think, you think the worst and think, oh my goodness, you know, he's gone. And we were petrified, we were crying, freaking out, calling 911 and everything. So Brady struggles from a few different aspects of life. He struggles with epilepsy, which is the seizure aspect, which we think we've got that figured out for the most part. He struggles from insomnia, which that was almost a deal breaker for my wife and I, waking up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning with a toddler, and that was a struggle, but we think we've got that under control. Brady also struggles with there's so many things. Sensory processing disorder. He has to have that sensory input as well. But Brady also struggles with attention deficit disorder, otherwise known as ADD. Many of you might have heard from it or heard about it. Many of you might even have it. Many of you might even have a family member that's struggled with attention deficit disorder. It's not always the most fun thing in the world to go through, but at the same time, it's a real world life struggle. And since he's been in kindergarten this year as well, we've noticed that more and more children, it seems like, struggle with attention deficit disorder. And my heart absolutely pours out to those kids and parents on top of that. I said just last night or the night before how I've always struggled with patience. And if you have a child that has attention deficit disorder, you better learn patience and you better learn it real quick or you're going to be fighting a losing battle. But what exactly is ADD? What exactly does this attention deficit disorder really entail from a physical standpoint? Looking it up in the dictionary, attention deficit disorder is a biologically based condition causing a persistent pattern of difficulties resulting in one or more of the following behaviors: inattention, the ADHD, which is the hyperactivity portion of it as well, and this impulsiveness, this impulsive behavior as well. But Brady really, really struggles with the inattention thing, right? Where it's just very difficult to pay attention to things from time to time. You tell him to clean his room, and it's nothing that, you know, he really is trying to defy you or anything. It's just that he has this deficit that doesn't allow him to really focus on what exactly it is that you just stated. And so as an end result, you as a parent or you as anyone else to say, my child is not listening to me. My child is not paying attention to me. My child is not focused on me. And as a result, it can lead to, obviously, frustrating times for you as a parent and frustrating times for other folks as well. It also has this difficulty attending or focusing on a specific task at hand, right? Cleaning your room or picking up toys or eating your dinner even to that degree. Sometimes it's very, very difficult for a child or a teenager, what have you, just to focus on one in particular task. And so many kids that have ADD really struggle in the school systems because when the teacher tries to, you know, give instruction, it goes in one ear and right out the other with some of these children. People with an attention deficit disorder may become distracted within a matter of minutes. And that is totally true. Totally true. Especially when a specific task is given, specific command is given, and then all of a sudden, 30 seconds to a minute later is, I have no idea what you just said. Inattentive behavior may also cause difficulties with staying organized, constantly losing our toys in our house. We played with them 10 seconds ago, and 10 seconds later, they are gone. And whether you have attention deficit disorder or not, I know that's for a lot of kids, but it's a huge, huge struggle for my little boy as well. Current estimates suggest that ADHD in particular is present throughout the world in about 1 to 5% of the world's population. 5% of the world's population, about five times more boys than girls are diagnosed with ADHD. And over the next decade, that 5% total number will be raised to, on average, about 10% of the world's population of individuals that are struggling with ADHD. Of course, this might come to a surprise to you, maybe, maybe not, but it doesn't just affect kids as well, because I, myself, am undiagnosed, with ADD. And so that's why I was telling Dylan back there earlier when I remembered his name, I walked up to him and I said, oh, your name's Dylan, right? He said, yeah. That was kind of a pat on the back for myself because I am terrible with names. I have to hear it over and over and over again to really focus in and to understand exactly what it is that the message is trying to be delivered to me. So it's been a struggle with me my entire life as well. And so this obviously got me to thinking about us from a spiritual perspective. And yeah, figure out what that states. But that states Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. I must have used a different version of PowerPoint. But what I want to talk about tonight is spiritual attention deficit disorder. Because so many Christians have it, and we just don't even realize it because we have the disorder. We have a hard time focusing. We have a hard time really and truly understanding what God wants and what God expects out of every single one of us. We allow distractions, we allow the highs, we allow the lows, we allow so many different things to kind of grab our attention from what it should be at and focus it on something completely different that's even sometimes outside of the spectrum of Christianity. I'll be the first to admit too, from a health situation standpoint, right? I know some of us in our audience tonight are dealing with health difficulties and health situations. When my little boy, obviously we were in almost a nursing home, but the ER, emergency room, after he had his massive seizure 3.5 years ago. Obviously, we're spazzing out. Obviously, we're freaking out. And we're in the ER for probably the better part of about 4 hours or so after a while. When I all of a sudden came to a realization, I'd not once throughout that entire time said a prayer to God. My attention was so focused and so geared towards my son and his health, and what can dad do to help fix it? What can dad do to help him and to bring him back to his good health? I don't even know what it is that's going on, but I need to figure it out and I need to fix it. Not one time in the duration of that span of time had I just stopped, taken a deep breath and said, God, I don't know what's going on, but I'm putting this in your hands. And sat there and prayed to God. And I did. I said a nice long prayer. I went out to the emergency room lobby by myself and said a nice long prayer to God. And then, you know, as I was walking down the halls in the emergency room, I'm looking in different rooms, and I see children that have no hair on top of their heads, children that, this is at Dayton Children's Medical Center, children that have no hair on their heads, children that are hooked up to all these machines, children that I know in my heart, deepest of heart, that are in 10 times worse shape than my little boy was at that particular time. And it's almost like God was teaching me right then and there to be thankful for the opportunities that I do have in life. And it's almost like I promised God right then and there after we find out the diagnosis, just epilepsy, he's going to be fine. You know, we're going to work on this and we'll give him medication. I almost told myself at that point and told God at that point, said, God, if you're going to give me epilepsy with this, I will take this and I will run far, far away from it, or far with it. And I will be an advocate for this. And we have been since then. So you make, if life hands you lemons, what do they say? You make lemonade with it. And so when we all are given difficult circumstances in life, we need to make sure that we stay focused. Every one of us have those difficult circumstances. Every one of us, emotionally, physically, sometimes spiritually. And as a result, it drives us into a direction that sometimes we don't want to go. And the best example I can think about this of somebody that remained focused under hard times is Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 4 and beginning with verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward in hunger. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made of bread. And verse 4, But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil in verse 8 taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give unto thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. The devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. I want us just for a second to put ourselves in Jesus' shoes here. Not from the literal standpoint, so don't get me wrong with that, but temptation. Temptation. We as Christians live every single day of our life freely flowing throughout life, I guess is what I was trying to say. We sometimes don't care about things. We sometimes just let the cares of the world slip past us, and we expect that, hey, tomorrow I'm going to have a great day. Next week is going to be a great week. Next month is going to be a great month. That's at least our expectation, but we brace for impact because we always know that that's not always going to be the case, right? And so when we go throughout life, and Jesus here, you talk about absolute focus and absolute determination. Understand this much as well. In verse 2, he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights and was starving. Many of us go 4 hours or so without a snack or food of a meal of any kind, and we are starving, our stomachs are gurgling. All we are focused on, all we want is food. And so when we go throughout life as well, that's us. That's us, not from a food perspective, but we allow sometimes other things to grab our attention so that when Satan does come and when Satan does tempt us, unlike Christ, we might give in from time to time. But I want us to pay attention to that sure determination that Christ has. There's that focus, even being able to quote prophecy. As it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. What are you talking about, Satan? Boy, if only some of us, if all of us, were to have that kind of strength, were to have that kind of fortitude, were to have that kind of focus in our life, Satan wouldn't be able to touch us with a 10-foot pole. I don't need to get off the screen because that's still kind of weirding me out a little bit. But there's a great need for attention, isn't there? Matthew chapter 7 and in verse 13, we are told that enter ye in the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be with going thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads into life, and few there be that find it. Understanding, we've talked about this a couple nights ago, understanding that there is such a narrow and straight and narrow way that's going to lead unto righteousness, that's going to lead into that kingdom of heaven. The need for the Christians to focus is greater today than it ever has been in time past. To make sure that our minds are where they need to be, on Christian and godly principles. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. And guess what? He's not going to stop. He's not going to stop. Even when you think, I can't take it anymore, he's going to continue to claw after you. He's going to continue to want to eat after you. You might have health problems now. You might have even worse health problems later. You might be going through a depression or anxiety now. You might go through a depression or anxiety 10 times that later. You just never know. None of us do. None of us do. Turn over to Hosea. If you would, chapter 4 and in verse 6. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. And again, just the need for us to focus. The need for us to pay attention to our Christian lives. And not only just us, but those that are around us as well. Hosea chapter 4 and in verse 6 here, he says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. That thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. I don't know how many times I've talked to people, even within the Church of Christ today, and I bring up a particular biblical subject that maybe we differ on, and I'll bring it to their attention, and we'll talk about it. And at the conclusion of that, if it's a respectful conversation, which it always should be, at the conclusion of that, I don't know how many times people would say, I've never, ever heard it that way before. Or I've never even thought about that passage of verses from that perspective. I've never heard it like that before. This goes back to what we talked about a few nights ago. We cannot say when we're asked, why do you believe in what you believe in? Well, it's because what mom and dad raised me to be. It's because of the traditions of the church that I've always gone to. It's why I believe in practice the way I believe in practice. It's because my girlfriend or my boyfriend or my husband or my wife go there, and so I want to go there, or my social group friends, and whatever the case might be. We've got to make sure that we have the knowledge base that gets us focused, that allows Jesus Christ to enter within our hearts and allows Jesus Christ to take over our lives, to allow us to have that attention and focus that we need to have as Christians. Matthew chapter 6, beginning with verse 19. Here he reads, Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore in thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thy eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness. We see what happens when there's a lack of focus, when there's a lack of attention on God and Christian principles. It's dangerous. It's very, very dangerous. And sometimes we lose focus and attention so easily that sometimes it's almost too late. The devil has devoured us. The devil is clawing at us. The devil is scratching at us. And he will not stop, friends. I'm telling you, he will not stop until he absolutely devours you and you walk away from Christ altogether. So whatever pain that you find yourself in here tonight, whatever devastation, whatever temptation, whatever turmoil that any of us find within ourselves tonight, just know that Satan is trying to lure you away from your attention upon God. That Satan is trying to lure you away from that straight and narrow path that leads into righteousness. That Satan will not rest until your attention on God has completely vanished. Mark my words, it's happened to so many strong Christians that I looked at and thought, there's no way they could ever possibly come down, and have as end result they have. There was a gospel minister at the Clay Village, Kentucky congregation Well, this has probably been a decade ago now, but I remember hearing him for the first time when I was 15 years old, and Fairborn even had this individual. I don't think anybody in this audience would know him. He was a younger preacher at the time. I think he was maybe in his mid-20s, late 20s, and he was probably, to this day, single-handedly one of the greatest presenters, I should say, that I've ever seen. I don't know if anybody remembers Eddie Hurley or Eddie's still preaching today, but Eddie's one of those guys that can close his eyes and quote entire chapters. And this guy was like a young version of Brother Eddie Hurley. This guy was phenomenal. You know, would walk all up and down the stage and just has that energy and that compassion for the love of Jesus Christ. And then something happened. And it turned my world upside down because this guy divorced his wife, faithful Christian. Her entire life was raised in a Christian family. Became an alcoholic and ended up getting married and divorced three different times to three different individuals, three different women. And now has completely fallen off the face of the earth from Christianity. Looked him up on Facebook about 2 years ago, didn't even recognize him. And it really, really hit home to me too. Because if it can happen to him, I told myself, it can happen to anybody. So we've got to make sure that we stay focused on what we need to be focused on. So you ask yourself, what? What exactly is it that I, as a Christian, should be focusing all of my time, all of my efforts, and all of my energy on? And this is really and truly kind of the meat and potatoes really of the entire gospel sermon that we're going to look at tonight is what should we be paying attention to? What should we be focusing on? And number one is being saved. Is being saved. Mark chapter 8. Turn over there real quickly if you would. Mark chapter 8, beginning with verse 36. It reads here, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" What does it profit you if you've absolutely lost complete focus and lost complete attention to God and godly and Christian principles, and you've gained the entire world and you've let the world consume you, and you die in that condition? What have you or I or anybody gained that finds ourselves in that person's shoes? Little to nothing. Little to nothing. In fact, flat out nothing. We sometimes just simply don't think, even outside, those of us outside the body of Christ and our friends and our relatives. I've got family members that I just want to go up and shake because you know better. You know what the right way is. You know the truth. You know what you need to be doing in your spiritual life. But allow football season and kids' activities and stuff like that get the best of them. And as an result, what God? What church? Well, if it's convenient for me, then I'll go. But if it's not, well, then that's that. We've got to pay attention to us being saved. We've got to pay attention to our souls more and more and more now than we ever have in times past. Why? Because there are so many obstacles. There are so many barriers in this walk of life that are just waiting for you to crash into them. And sometimes it doesn't happen all at once, right? Sometimes it's little by little by little, and then bam, the atomic bomb sets off. And then after a while, you wake up one day and you find yourself in a situation where you can't even recognize your spiritual self anymore. We've got to pay attention to our souls. We've also got to pay attention to what heaven's all about, that crown of life. Turn over to Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. End of part of that verse is really the whole idea of this entire verse. But Revelation chapter 2, we'll read the whole verse. It says, "Fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10,000 days. But be thou faithful until death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Do we lose focus and lose sight on why we're here? Why we were put upon the face of this earth? Solomon, we talked about him just the other night, right? I think it was on Monday night. Sunday morning. He was a guy that had everything. All the materialistic possessions, the power, the fame, the wealth, everything you could possibly imagine. And at the conclusion of everything, he says over in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13, what? The conclusion of the whole matter is this, is to fear God and keep His commandments. And I echo that statement here tonight because that's why we're here. We're not here to gain earthly possessions. We're not here to gain earthly respect. We're here to gain the respect of God and the respect of the souls that are in need of salvation, including our own. That's why we're here. But we lose sight of that. We lose focus of that. And I want a special message to the church here tonight. I think a majority of us here go to the attend the Pisgah congregation. You know, so many times we have this expectation, not even just here, but everywhere. We have that expectation that we're going to open those doors and we'll wait for the visitors to come in to hear. You show me book, chapter, and verse where an apostle, where Christ, where a disciple in general opened up a church door and was waiting for people to come in and minister unto them. They were the ones that were going out. Christ's commission to us is go into all the world, not have the world come unto you. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Get out there. Tell the community where you're at. And your congregation of the Lord's church here, man, right by a busy intersection and everything. Allow people to know that the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ is taught right here. Allow people to know that they can worship God not just in truth, not just in spirit, but in spirit and truth. And get excited about it. Get energized about it. Have this understanding that I'm here for a purpose. And that purpose is to serve God. And that purpose is to introduce God to other people. We all can share that same passion. We all can share that same energy. That's not to say that none of us are going to go through trials and tribulations and difficult circumstances in life, but when we do, lean upon each other. I'm low on energy. I'm low on my spiritual batteries. And I got two guys in the audience right now, and Chris and Scott, that I've blown up their phones I don't know how many times. Guys, I need to talk. I'm weak. You know, I need spiritually recharged now. I need some verses thrown my way or something. I utilize these guys because I have to. I'm not up here today if I didn't have close brothers and sisters in Christ like that. And I'm forever grateful for those guys and for everyone that's given me the encouragement throughout this entire week and throughout my entire life. But this is what we've got to focus on. This is why we're here. We're not here to have the fancy cars. We're not here to have the fancy mansions and the big bad jobs and stuff like that. But that's our focus. I'm not trying to deny it, to degrade those things. Those things are fine to have and set goals in life. But man, at the end of the day, Solomon had it right. Fear God, respect God, and keep His commandments, and do the things that He's instructed you to do. And not only will a crown of life is awaiting for you, but what about that eternal mansion? It fascinates me, driving throughout Dayton sometimes, and my grandpa, I think majority of people knew my grandpa Begley, we drive by one of these nice, big, fancy, you know, subdivisions and stuff like that, and we drive by the same one, and we could drive by the same one every single day for a solid month. And every time we drive by that fancy subdivision, he'd always say, "How on earth do people afford those kind of homes? How on earth can people live in those kind of homes? What kind of jobs do people have today to afford those homes?" Said it all the time. And I think to myself, and we need to all think to ourselves, those things are nothing. Those things are nothing from the spiritual mansion that's waiting for me when I leave this walk of life. John 14, the first three verses there, right? In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, and I go to prepare a place for you. He's not going to lie to us. That should give us hope. You're looking for some energy to recharge your spiritual batteries right now. Look, open up John chapter 14. I paraphrase. I think I read verses 2 and 3 there. Read the entire chapter of John chapter 14, at least the first handful of verses. If that doesn't get you excited, if that doesn't get you energized about Christianity and why you're living this life, there's nothing I'm going to say that's going to. So not only just the crown of life, but our eternal mansion as well. Sometimes we just simply lose focus on why we're here and the whole purpose of us being here. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2 and 3. We lose focus on the needs of other people. I used this illustration just the other night about the lieutenant colonel that goes to church with us, the Wingos, and Joe's been all over the country, worshiping at several churches of Christ, in different places, different bases he's stationed in, and I believe, I said Alabama the other night, but I still think it was Alabama, the church that he had attended, and the preacher lost his job, full-time job, had been paying benefits and everything, and his wife became very ill. And the congregation at the time was saving for a brand new building or addition to a building, if I'm not mistaken. And the preacher went to the elders and said, "Hey, my wife has become very ill. I can't afford this medicine anymore. I don't have insurance. Is there any way I can get some assistance?" And I guess the elders met one day and called him the next and said, "Well, we're going to pray for you. We're going to pray for you." You talk about losing focus with having 100, and the colonel told me there was 150 some thousand dollars sitting in there in the church's checking account waiting to pay for a new building or waiting to pay for an addition to the new building. Terrible. Terrible. 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning with verse 2, it says, "Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking oversight thereof, paying attention to the needs, to the cares, to the I don't want to say desires, but especially to the needs and cares of those that are in need of something." This isn't to say, and I'm sure there's people out there that like to use church members for their money or for their possessions or materialistic things. That's not what I'm talking about whatsoever. But when we see a fellow brother, when we see a fellow sister in Christ that is struggling in life, we as Christians are to reach out and to help, not even wait for that person to come to us. We had a brother not too long ago that was in the hospital. He was in the hospital for 2 weeks. He had no vacation days, no sick time. And I went to visit him in the hospital. He said, I'm fearful of getting out of this hospital in the next few days because I have no idea what kind of bills are going to be waiting for me when I get home. That's all I needed to hear. Didn't need to ask. Didn't need to say anything. I went to the brethren. I did a conference call with the brethren and said, "Here's the situation. Here's how much I'm recommended." And within the matter of 15 seconds, everybody said, "Absolutely, go for it." Called the treasurer up, put the money in his account. People shouldn't even have to ask when we see a brother or sister in Christ that is in need of something. But we've lost focus of that. We allow the cares, the wants, the worries, the depressions, the anxieties of this world to bog us down, to take our minds from where they need to be focused on helping others in need and saying, "Well, I'm worried about self and self only. You know, it's all about me and everyone else. I've not put myself in that position. Why should I help somebody that is? They should know better than that. I've heard all these things before." My goodness. Let's turn over. It's not on the chart, but I jotted this down last night as the verse kind of came to me. James chapter 2. Turn over there real quickly if you would. James chapter 2 and in verse 15. These verses speak volume to every one of us. At least they should. "If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit?" This is the verse that came to mind when I heard the colonel tell that story about the church in Alabama. "Be warmed and filled. Good luck with that. We'll pray for you." What does it profit? It's profited you nothing, and it's profited the person nothing. So it's a lose-lose situation, isn't it? We've got to pay attention and understand that we're in this to help each other to get to heaven one day. If we can help each other on this temporal walk of life, why not try to do that? Even sometimes it's sending a text message. Even sometimes sending an email. "Hey, brother, sister, I love you." My phone, when I leave here, blows up in the evenings, and I love it. Brock, so encouragement. Encouraged. Great sermon. You know, we needed to hear that kind of stuff. That doesn't give me an ego or a big head whatsoever, but that puts a smile on my face knowing that I might have been able to say something to encourage you. Because I know when I come here, I'm totally encouraged. Looking out for the needs of others. What about God's promises? We get so engulfed with what the world has to offer, we forget completely about what God has to offer. 2 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 4. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4 here, it says, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." Are we remembering what God's promised us? Pretty much everything on the screen, outside of maybe the needs of others, are things that God has promised us. That crown of life, that mansion in heaven. Every single one of you that are in pain right now, whether it be a physical pain, whether it be an emotional pain, whether it be whatever kind of pain, turn over to Revelation 21. No sorrow, no tears, no pain, no dying. All those former things are passed away. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, it's difficult for me to even paint that picture because we look on this temporal walk of life and we try to compare it to something. Well, heaven sounds like, you know, Costa Rica or something nice or whatever the case is. We can't compare it to anything. We've never seen such a place. We've never even fathomed such a place on this walk of life. But it's what God has promised us. And whether it be good or bad, you show me where a promise in the New or Old Testament scriptures where God has promised something and was not, and it did not come to pass or did not deliver. It's just not going to be there. The promises of God, we need to be hanging our hat on those more and more and more. Turn over to Matthew 24. Matthew chapter 24. And I apologize, I'm throwing all these verses at you, but I just think they go hand in hand with everything we're talking about tonight. Matthew chapter 24, and looking at verse 35, there's God's words. He says here in verse 35, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." That should almost give you an awesome, creepy feeling to a certain degree. This world will burn. This world will be no more in existence. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the words of Christ, the things He stated to us, God's precious promises, and the list goes on and on and on, will not and cannot pass away. Jesus Christ, the Bible says, is the same yesterday as He is today, as He will be forever. And that's not going away. That's not going away. Who He can be and who He is in every single one of our lives. And lastly, from this slide's perspective, is something that we just lose focus on is Christ. It's Christ. I know this congregation, when I was here a few years ago, I think it was the month of October, you could do like a Christ-focused week or something like that. I don't know if you still do it or not, but I think that was fantastic. Fantastic. You know, focusing on Christ, gaining the congregation's focus, reeling us all in and focusing on Jesus. That's great. I hope you guys still do that because that's a great, great thing to do in any given month, whether it be October or whenever it is. Focusing on Christ. I've quoted this verse probably every lesson I've done so far, but He says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." You know when we forget that? Is when we go through those difficult circumstances of life. When we go through those trials and temptations of life. When I was at Dayton Children's Medical Center, for the first few hours trying to take matters into my own hands and saying, what can Dad do for his boy? Forgetting about Christ and, wait a minute, this is a care. This is a burden. I'm laboring. This is a heavy laden. What am I doing? Why am I not going to God in prayer right now? I'm so thankful that I did, because every single day I see that kid beat this stuff. Every single day. And it gives me a renewed confidence in God and in Christ Jesus. These are just a handful of things that we can lose attention. There are so many more things as well. Turn over to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. Let's read a few verses here. I'm not going to take the time to read every single one of these. Matthew chapter 14, beginning with verse 25. This is where Jesus was walking on the sea. And let's look at verse 26. When His disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered Him and said, "Lord, if it be Thou, bid me come unto Thee on the water." And He said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out forth His hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Oh, tell me that's not us from time to time. Tell me that's not us from time to time. We're walking our Christian life. We're walking that straight and narrow path and we begin to sink. Temptation, fear, much like Peter here, fear. Fear gets the best of us so much. We bottle things up inside. And as I said before, we allow small, tiny, minute problems just to keep growing and spreading throughout our spiritual souls like cancer does to our physical bodies. And then after a while, like cancer does to our bodies, it takes us and engulfs us. Oh, you of little faith. Where is our attention when we know where it needs to be? We as Christians should never be weary when it comes to following Christ. He should always, always be on the forefront of our mind. Whether our significant other has an illness in the hospital, when we get that dreaded phone call about our jobs, or get that dreaded phone call that somebody's in the hospital or passed away. I think about David that we talked about a few nights ago, right? When the child was in her womb, he prayed, he cried, he fasted, and as soon as it was delivered, he did what? It was delivered and it passed away. He did what? He worshiped. Fell on his knees worshiping God. I can't go to that child again, or that child cannot come to me again, but I can go to that child. We must see that very situation take place in this storyline with some of us and the things that we go through in life as well. Fear, right? When we fear, we lose attention. And when we lose attention, we lose faith. They all kind of go intertwined with one another. Fear gets the best of you. Fear gets the best of me. You know, I fear all the time for the Lord's church. All the time. Cannot tell you how many tears I've cried. Cannot tell you how many nights of sleep I've lost. How many hours of sleep that I've lost. How many conversations I've had with folks and just saying, I'm scared to death of the Lord's church. Because of the situation that it continues to find itself in. But I've got to understand that, Lord, if your will be done. And I pray to God every night, utilize me in any way, shape, or form, Lord, that you want me to go. Where you lead, I will follow. Here am I, send me. I love that song. Here am I, Lord, just send me. I've got to humble myself. We have to humble ourselves and just accept that and say, God, it might not be what I want to do, like Moses in the burning bush, like Jonah was going to Nineveh. It might not be what we want to do, but we can't flee from the Lord. We've got example after example after example in the New and Old Testament scriptures of what happens when we try to run from God. And we simply can't do that. We need to put on the armor of God, and we need to press forward toward the mark of the high calling, as New Testament scriptures tell us. And we need to do it with a smile on our face. Too many times we look at this as a job. Oh, I've got to be a Christian. It's work, and I've got to put a lesson together in the work that it entails. Well, of course it's work. But if you're not having fun being a minister, if you're not having fun having a brother or sister in Christ Jesus, if you're not having fun being a Christian soldier for the cause of Christ, or whatever the case might be, you're not doing this according to the way God wants you to do it. You're not living the life that God wants you to live. This isn't a job. This is a blessing. We don't have to go to church. We get to go to church. I don't have to embrace my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. I get to embrace my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. I don't have to love anybody. I get to love people. I get to encourage people. I get to try to be a force in someone's life. Because I know that they are in mine. We cannot allow fear to get the best of us. Looking at verse 31 there, right? Of what we just read in Mark chapter 14. Immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And in time of trial and hardships, Jesus, even today, stretches out his hand of comfort. Almost as a means of reeling us back into that straight and narrow way. Almost as a means of gaining our focus and attention all over again. Because you know we all need it. You know we all need it. I don't know how many times I beat myself up the next morning too when I'm thinking about church matters the night before. Didn't go to bed till 3, got up at 6, and I'm so tired. And then something will come across my computer screen, or maybe a fellow brother or sister of Christ will send me a text message, or I'll see something on Facebook. It regains my focus and attention. I'm thinking to myself, why did I just lose sleep over that? I do it all the time, too. I don't know if I'm going to fix my behavior or not, but why did I lose sleep over it? It's in God's hands. It's in God's control. And He knows that He can send me wherever He needs me to go. He can tell me to do whatever He needs me to do, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it to the best of my God-given ability. And then also, a couple more slides, and the lesson will be yours here tonight. The lack of attention in Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, beginning with verse 35 here. I'm in Matthew, sorry. Mark chapter 4, And beginning with verse 35, I love the storyline too. The same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitudes, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And verse 39, he arose, rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no more faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and sea obey him? Have you ever been through a tropical storm in your life, and then almost like God almost sends you a message? You know, I'm not one of those that say God speaks directly to us. No, don't get me wrong with what I'm trying to say, but it's almost like God, something happens in our life, and it's like, thanks, God. I know that was from you. I don't know how many times I've gone through difficulty and just really, really stressful times, really depressing type times. And I'll get a phone call from Scott, from Chris, or a fellow brother and sister in Christ, and it was almost like, how'd you know you needed to call me today? You know, and it's almost after that phone conversation, I almost felt like that depression and anxiety just kind of fizzle away. And it's almost like Jesus saying, peace be still. Calm down. Calm down. Let me take over this for you. And oh, how many times I appreciate those phone calls. So why sometimes then do we question God's plan? Why do sometimes we reject what we know He has in store for us? Even maybe sometimes when we don't get it. Really struggled at first understanding, man, God, why are you giving my boy the quadruple effect here? You know, all these issues. What are we trying to do in all this? And then it was after about a year after his first seizure, he had another massive seizure as well. And it almost just kind of dawned on me, you know what? We're not going to crawl up. We're not going to cry and complain about this. We're going to do something about this. You know, I've got to change my heart. I've got to change my mentality because that little boy expects it. And those that are around me expect it too. And we're going to be advocates for this thing. And we as Christians be advocates for the Lord's church. Ambassadors of the Lord's church, representing the Lord's church. And far too often times, we take the backseat approach. There's an opportunity and it's right there. But I'll let somebody else do it. I'll let somebody else intertwine with this situation and get involved with it. Gospel meetings. How many of us, I don't need a show of hands or anything, passed out even one flyer, invited even one person? I've been to congregations before literally where people have said, well, that's the preacher's job. The preachers are the one that put the gospel meetings together. They're the ones that should be advertising. False. False. Where is our hearts? This is, you know, people give you an excuse when you invite them to services on Sunday. Well, they've got, because their excuse is, well, that's what time my church is too, so I can't go to church with you on Sunday. This week's meeting is great because they have Monday, Tuesday. Some people have church on Wednesday. They got Thursday and they got Friday. They're going to have to come up with a whole slew of excuses or even just one time say, all right, I'm going to go. And when you've gotten their foot in the door, you've done your job. You've done your job. And you can continue to keep working. In closing, while we may struggle, and I apologize, I've gone over time a little bit tonight, but while we may struggle sometimes in our temporal body, in this tabernacle of clay, with so many effects of ADD, and as I said, in the next decade or so, the number is going to rise from 5% of the world's population to 10%. And any school that you go to just about has special needs assistants and things like that that are in the classroom specifically to help these children that are struggling with ADD or ADHD. But we all have been called to pay close, detailed, particular attention to things of a spiritual sense, especially in our dealings with Jesus Christ. Where is your focus here tonight? Some of you are probably saying, well, my focus is for Brock to be quiet so I can go home and get some rest and then wake up and go to work or school the next day. And I promise you we're wrapping up. But even sometimes in services, when we're partaking of the Lord's Supper, when we're doing listening to a sermon, when we're engaging in songs, you sometimes will look at somebody and you know just by looking at them that they would rather be 100 other places than where they're at right then and there. Their mind is what we're going to eat later. Their mind is on vacation in a couple of weeks. Their mind is in so many different places. And I'll tell you this first and foremost, and everyone that's had children before, trying to take the Lord's Supper and dealing with two screaming kids, and you're trying to focus your mind on Christ and his burial and the death of Jesus Christ, and also trying to look after kids. It's difficult. And Chris is back there nodding absolutely because he knows exactly what I'm talking about. It's difficult. But that doesn't give us an excuse. We've got to remain focused on Christ at all areas and in all aspects of our lives. And bottom line is Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. There, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Focus first and foremost on Jesus Christ, and the promise, the guarantee in your life is that He will add everything into it that needs to be there. Friends, the lesson is yours. The plan of salvation is on the screen. I don't know if we have anyone here in the audience tonight that needs to obey the gospel plan of salvation, but again, we use book chapters and verses to show exactly what it takes for us to be saved. The Bible says to rightly divide the word of truth in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I think it's the end of part of verse 15 there. We are to rightly divide the word of truth, and that's what this slide is doing. It's showing that we have to have faith in Christ. We've got to repent and have this change of mindset, this change of heart. We've got to confess Christ to be the Son of God, being buried in the water of the grave of baptism for the remission of our sins. And then lastly, continue to live the Christian life. We already talked about there in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. Stay on that straight and narrow way. Stay focused on what God wants us to focus on and the Christian principles that we must focus on if we're going to lead this walk of life and be a successful Christian. If you're in the audience tonight and your attention is elsewhere and you're struggling, honing it back in, you know, sometimes you can't do that on your own. And I'll be the first to admit, as somebody that sometimes struggles with the physical realm of ADD. Sometimes you need to ask somebody, what's that person's name again? And where did you tell me to go again? And what time do I need to be there? Sometimes it's a struggle. And sometimes you need help. There's no shame. There's no stigma. If you feel embarrassed even to come forward, ask one of the brethren after services to put you on their prayer list or to pray for you. And we would be glad to do that. Reach out to somebody. Don't keep things bottled up inside. Reach out. And much like the apostles did, say, Lord, save me. Master, don't you care? We perish. Save me. I need help. Be like that, because that's what Christ is all about. We appreciate you. We love you so much. If we can assist you in any way, please come forward while together we stand and sing praise to God at this time. Thank you.